Good afternoon. I'd like to thank Hungarian Academy of Science for inviting me here and Brazilian Academy of Science for allowing me to be a late breaker speaker. Today, I'm going to talk about more food safety aspects. Food is, the essential element for our lives. And at the same time, it's a source of joy and pleasure for our life. Look at my children on this central picture. They look so happy in front of the special meal for New Year's Day. But unfortunately, the food is causing severe illnesses sometimes. According to the estimates by WHO, foodborne and waterborne diseases are, taken together, kill about 2.2 million people annually, and 1.9 million of them are children. And I'm sure you're familiar with United Nations Millennium Development Goals, MDGs, and among eight of goals, four of them are related to food security or food safety. As you can see, the first one, to overcome the poverty, is directly linked to the food security. And the four, five, six, the improvement of children's or maternal health, and to overcome HIV/AIDS, are related to the most vulnerable people. Sometimes the lack of nutrition or the lack of immunocompromised people. Sometimes big outbreaks of foodborne diseases caught attention from the public. You might remember the E. coli 0104 outbreak that hit European countries several months ago. As of July 7th this year, they reported about 1,000 illnesses and more than 30 deaths due to these illnesses. As you remember, at first, the cucumber from Spain was well questioned as the cause of the illnesses, and as the picture shows, there is a huge impact on Spanish agriculture. But after that, EFSA identified that the fenugreek, a kind of sprout seeds imported from Egypt, was the most likely cause of the illnesses. And the European Commission banned imports of this kind of seeds and other seeds from Egypt until the end of October. So there is a very huge impact on agriculture if once a large outbreak took place. And there are, of course, more pathogens are known to cause several big outbreaks, like enterohemorrhagic E. coli, most likely 0157H7, or Salmonella, or norovirus, or even BSE that caused huge societal shock 10 or 15 years ago. At the same time, those foodborne illnesses cause economic damages through recalls or import rejection at the port of entry. So we have questions how large those impacts are in terms of both public health and economic damages. I'd like to talk on public health issue due to my expertise. Several basic statistics or infrastructures can be used as the foundation of surveillance. I think most of the countries have some kind of vital statistics, such as birth and death records. They are the very basic statistics for foodborne surveillance. But if you want to know the better course of the diseases, you need some laboratory capacity or availability. And outbreak investigations are taking place in many countries as well. It recognizes adverse foodborne events, and those investigations can identify hazards, causative food, and source of contamination. And most of the investigations are done by local governments in many countries. And the main purposes of those investigations are to urgently stop the ongoing outbreak and to prevent similar outbreaks in the future. And this is an example of outbreak statistics in Japan. And the data are summarized by the Minister of Health, Labor and Welfare. And as you can see, you can identify the trend of different kinds of outbreaks caused by the pathogens. However, those reported illnesses are the only tip of the iceberg. We would like to know the real illnesses in the population at the bottom. However, not many people visit physicians to seek medical care. And even those patients who visit hospitals don't receive specimen testing for the diagnosis. And not every laboratory diagnosis has 100% sensitivity or specificity. And not all the identified pathogens are reported to competent authorities. So you can easily imagine that the reported outbreaks is only the very small fraction, and we want to know the bottom illnesses. And there are, attempts are made in several countries to estimate the real illnesses in the population. And we are conducting a research in Japan to estimate the major three pathogens and related illnesses. It's the result from our field prefecture, but as you can see, there are huge differences between the estimated illnesses and the actually reported illnesses. Beyond those case numbers, there are still further attempts to estimate the real burden of the diseases, foodborne diseases. In 2007, WHO has initiated a new epidemiological project called WHO-FERG, Foodborne Disease Burden Epidemiology Reference Group. WHO-FERG has introduced a new metric, Disability Adjusted Life Years, called DALIS, as an indicator for healthy time lost by some diseases. DALI is a sum of years of life lost due to mortality, the area C, and years lived with the disability, the area B. And WHO needs a standard life expectancy curve, which refers to Japanese women's life expectancy curve, because we live the longest. Okay. Recently, expert meetings by WHO and FAO has summarized the risk management framework by using these four elements, such as preliminary risk management activities, option assessment, implementations, and monitoring and review. And as I mentioned, epidemiological evidence is used to be a base of the first parameter, the preliminary evaluation. And there are many researchers identify that good agricultural practices at the farming level, or HACCP, Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point System, or good manufacturing practices are the most effective control measures taken in the processing or manufacturing stages of the food production compared to the end product testing. And recently, a risk analysis framework was introduced to the food safety arena, composed by risk assessment, risk management, and risk communication. I'm not sure whether you know Codex Alimentarius Commission. It's an intergovernmental organization, and according to the Plant Animal Human Health Agreement by the World Trade Organization, Codex was recognized as an authorized organization to describe how risk assessment should be conducted. So, in addition to the former structure of the risk management framework, risk assessment is introduced when more integrated knowledge and risk estimate or effectiveness assessment or equivalence evaluation is required. Equivalence evaluation should be applied to different countries. So this is a typical risk assessment structure for foodborne microbiological hazards. And through these processes, you can compare the different effectiveness of the different strategies taken in different stage of the food chain, and which can be applied to, as I mentioned, to different countries, which can evaluate equivalency taken in different countries. And recently, Codex introduced a new metric called Food Safety Objective, FSO, or Performance Objective, PO. The government would like to set a public health goal in terms of risk and at the end of the illnesses caused by food. And but this public health goal should be well evaluated or validated with some measurable well, metrics. So FSO is introduced at the time of consumption, which is compatible to public health goals. And once we have hazard-based objectives at the time of consumption, we can go back to the upstream of the food chain to set performance objectives. And these objectives can be more measured by some microbiological or chemical world metrics. So it's my conclusions. Understanding the present public health status is the basis for the further food safety actions, which can includes this public setting the public health goals, then establishing new metrics. And risk-based, which means consumers' health-oriented food safety management, is critical for both protecting consumers' safety and promoting fair trade. And these should be essential for promoting sustainable food production. And at this opportunity, as a citizen of the Japanese, I would like to thank all of you for your generous support and strong encouragement to the disaster and hard days, following hard days. And Japanese citizens would never forget them. Thank you very much.